This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, February 5th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, new efforts to spread the word about starlings. More than 100 years after a Shakespeare admirer released 100 of the imported European birds. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, which has temperatures around 50 on Saturday. But first, a look at today's news. A pork processor says a contract dispute with a customer is what led to this week's temporary shutdown of a plant in Rantoul. 600 people were out of work because of the shutdown at Meadowbrook Farms, but the chairman of the farmer-owned cooperative doesn't expect the closure to be permanent. Roger Walk says either a settlement in Meadowbrook's lawsuit against the contractor or an emergency bridge loan from the U.S. Department of Agriculture would lead to a reopening in as little as 7 to 10 days.
It wouldn't be immediately to that level on the first day, but I'd think within, you know, the first month of operations, we'd be back up to where we were.
Walk claims suburban Chicago-based Triad Foods Group defaulted on a contract. Meadowbrook is asking for more than $3 million in the suit. He says his firm is too new to have enough in reserve to keep operating without that money. Illinois has amassed a massive budget deficit that dwarfs the record deficit the state faced in 2004. Amanda Vinicky explains.
Comptroller Dan Hines says new budget estimates confirm his worst fears. He projects a deficit approaching $9 billion for this year and next. And that's only if Illinois doesn't increase spending. Hines says the national recession's partly to blame. Even so, Hines says the state wasn't prepared to deal with an economic downturn. He says that fault lies with former Governor Rod Blagojevich.
He told us things were good when they weren't. He neglected pensions. He neglected Medicaid expenditures. He didn't build up reserves. He spent money we didn't have.
A federal stimulus package offering state assistance could carve out $3 billion from the deficit, but Hines warns that's only a temporary, one-time fix that still leaves Illinois with an ongoing structural deficit. Hines says Illinois needs to confront this budget reality in the next few weeks or months, but the Democrat offered no suggestions as to what could be done, and he refused to say if it could be fixed without a tax increase. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Governor Pat Quinn, meanwhile, calls Illinois' budget outlook sobering. He says it shows the difficulty Illinois and other states are facing. Quinn would not say if he believes increasing the sales or income tax will be needed.
Well, we're going to work together. I'm going to talk about that in March at the budget address. But between now and then, we'll be looking at all the different nooks and crannies of state government. We've got to tighten our belt wherever possible. And obviously, we have a giant hole to fill.
Quinn also said it will be impossible to get the budget on track without a robust economy, and he says that would be spurred by new jobs created through an infrastructure program. Quinn has set an April deadline to pass a construction plan in Illinois. There's talk of raising the sales tax on gasoline to come up with the funding. Quinn wouldn't comment on that idea either, other than to say that he's keeping all options on the table. He says he does not want Illinois to become the pothole capital. A list of capital projects awaiting possible federal funding in Champaign County is at 109 and counting, but the head of the county's Regional Planning Commission says which projects get funded depends on what comes out of the negotiations over a massive economic stimulus package from Washington. The commission has amassed a list of more than $400 million for roads, building repairs, and other needs. RPC Director Cameron Moore says the highest priority goes to those projects deemed shovel-ready.
Everyone understands because of the urgency to move forward with these projects in order to qualify for the stimulus funding that most of the projects we're seeing are projects that have been previously identified. They're in some stage of planning or design, or in some cases all of that work's been done and they're just waiting for a funding source.
So far, the projects at the top of the priority list include additions to Champaign's Boneyard Creek Flood Control Project, projects to improve Savoy's Curtis Road and Urbana's Windsor Road, and a new boiler for the Prairie View Ogden Schools. But Moore says local government agencies have until the end of the week to submit new candidates for federal funds. One of the last independent bookstores in East Central Illinois has suddenly closed after 20 years. AM 580's Tom Rogers has that story.
Customers of Pages for All Ages were faced with locked doors last week, as well as a sign in the window that the store at a Savoy shopping center was closed for inventory. Yesterday, though, a new sign went up thanking customers for their patronage over the years and saying the store is now closed for good. The message from owners Brandon and Susan Griffing also said the recession was a cause of the closing. Calls to the store and to the Griffings were met with busy signals yesterday. Pages opened in Champaign's old farm shops in 1988 and moved to Savoy several years ago. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. In 1890, a wealthy Shakespeare admirer went to New York Central Park and released 100 imported European starlings. His plan was to introduce into America all the birds mentioned in the works of Shakespeare. 100 years and 200 million starlings later, that plan is wildly successful and inspired a Central Illinois artist to get the word out about the ubiquitous and invasive bird. From Normal, Illinois Public Radio's Laura Kennedy has this story.
Carol Gilmore stands beneath a large sycamore tree in her parents' backyard on Bloomington's Old West Side, eyes lifting warily. Overhead, hundreds of European starlings swirl and surge in massive flocks, peppering the gray winter evening sky. The birds are in search of a roosting place for the night, and Gilmore knows just where they'll settle, right where they've roosted for too many nights before, in the old sycamore. Gilmore's not just tired of this nightly ritual, she's disgusted.
The smell, the odor, the mess, the smell, the displeasure at this whole thing. Now we're coming. See, now we're coming. And we will probably get pooped on.
Great.
Get a step under the eaves
here.
It's that mess that the starlings leave on the ground that most has Gilmore concerned. The health hazards of hundreds of starling droppings leaves her family wary to venture into the backyard. As a result, she's tried a variety of tricks to scare off the enormous flocks.
We've tried bright lights, we've tried loud noise, we've tried firecrackers, banging pots and pans, and...
Nothing shifts them.
No. Maybe temporarily. But see, okay, we're definitely beginning. In the background, you hear the firecrackers going off.
I think in town you have to grin and bear it.
That's Jeannie Morris, the manager of Wild Birds Unlimited in Normal.
Because they are dependent on big trees to roost in.
Morse says that each autumn, starlings begin massing in huge flocks, where there's safety in numbers. And that's where a lot of enemies are made, like Carol Gilmore. But there are those who have been charmed by the bird, which is a distant cousin of the mynah. Starlings made friends and influenced people in Europe by being able to imitate human speech. A quick search on YouTube reveals one particularly vocal starling named Liberty. Artist Brian Collier of Bloomington became intrigued by the starlings when he noticed them massing in a giant tree outside his studio window.
So I was just struck. I would walk out of the back of the building and you could smell the birds and you could like feel the presence of just thousands and thousands of animals.
What was a nuisance to Carol Gilmore was an inspiration to Collier.
Most people think of these animals as these horrible pests, right? So what could we do to sort of shift that image a little bit and turn them into a productive tool? And so I thought if we started this program that would teach them all to say the name of the man who introduced them to North America, we could actually turn them into this incredible environmental teaching tool.
Collier wants everyone to be a part of his art project, Teach the Starlings. He distributes informational postcards throughout the communities that host his project, detailing the history behind the starling in North America and Shakespeare fan Eugene Schieflin's environmental no-no.
One of the central pushes of the project is to invite people to actually do this. This isn't me doing this. This is me inviting other people to go out in their environment and shout Schieflin at starlings, and hopefully the larger the numbers of people doing this, the more likely that the starlings will actually learn.
Collier is also teaching straight to the source. Playing on the starlings' ability to mimic human speech, the project includes nesting boxes and suet feeders with motion trigger audio players inside.
And so as the starling enters and exits the nest box, the audio player plays Schieflin inside the box.
So I see the suet feeder.
So the starling will fly up to it and
Schieflin.
Trigger that.
Schieflin.
So far, Collier hasn't heard any of the starlings emerging from the box say Schieflin, but one day he was sitting on his back porch.
And I heard people in the back alley saying, Schieflin, Schieflin, Schieflin. And I found two of my neighbors shouting at a starling sitting on a power line because they had found this card at the coffee shop and they had no idea it was me.
Collier contends he's not advocating for the starling. Rather, he's trying to educate people. Jeannie Morris of Wild Birds Unlimited says that's not a bad idea. She says it wasn't by choice that the starling came to America, and that we need to remember the European settlers who came here long ago and displaced many Native Americans. They, too, can be considered an invasive species.
A lot of us have white Anglo-Saxon heritage, so if you take that in context and compare it to what the starling has done, I think it just makes you a little more understanding.
So long as the starlings continue to fill her family's sycamore, Carol Gilmore is a long way from understanding.
I would not be one of those folks that are going to love starlings, ever.
Sheep lips, sheep lips.
I'm Laura Kennedy.
Our forecast calls for sunny skies today with a high around 30 degrees. Mostly clear tonight, the low around 22. Mostly sunny tomorrow, the high around 45. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night, patchy drizzle and fog possible. The low in the upper 30s. Breezy, mostly cloudy Saturday. Patchy drizzle and fog in the morning, the high around 52 degrees. Mostly cloudy Saturday evening, a chance of rain showers, the low around 35. Partly sunny Sunday, the high around 45. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, February 5th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.